If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Today on the Zabecast, the NBA's Orlando bubble may do a decent job of keeping out the Rona, but what about the young, horny alpha males inside? Saving money by cord cutting as a sports fan, how's that going? Big increases for YouTube TV. Mr. X joins me from his parents' home in Maine, where he's still waiting for his season ticket money from the Nats. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, July 1, 2020. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for downloading. We've made it to halftime of 2020, and the score is, let's see, 2020, 42, the world 3. We're going to need to make some serious halftime adjustments and make a hell of a rally for the final 6 months. I'd like to say I'm confident we can do it. I wouldn't say confident, though. I'm hopeful we can do it. See, right now, it's not like we just got in the locker room. I think at least speaking for America, we're in the locker room. It's 42-3, and we have players at each other's throats right now. Even though the actual pandemic is winding down in terms of what matters, deaths, hospitalizations, etc., the hysteria and the madness is on an exponential growth curve right now. It's something, I'll tell you that much. We'll leave all that talk to the end where you can just safely turn off the podcast and say, I don't want to hear this. I don't like it when you say that. It'll be at the end and you'll know. And you can say I'm done and just safely put it aside. In the meantime, Stephen A. Smith brings up a good point. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it, Stephen A. Smith. Thank God for Stephen A. Smith in times like this when he's the only guy who can bring up such funny and, I think, salient points without fear of being canceled or called a racist. Thank God for Stephen A. Smith. Yes, he is a caricature of himself at times, but this was Stephen A. Smith on ESPN talking about what he sees as the biggest potential bubble trouble in Orlando.
Here's the reason you gotta be worried. I wanted to hold up on saying this, y'all, but I can't hold it no more.
Molly Kierum,
do we really think
Max
that
Kellerman,
the
Jay Williams,
recreational activities, what these guys are accustomed to, are going to be compromised for 3 months? I mean, somebody's gotta say it. Somebody's got to say it. You really, really think that people are going to be without their wives or their woman? Okay? I mean, the guys that are married without their wives, the guys that ain't married without their woman. You really, really think they honoring a bubble for 3 months and are going to deprive? Somebody got to tell the truth.
Stephen A., they've set up ping pong tournaments.
They're allowed to bring their significant other down there after a month.
Hey, listen, after a month, I just said forget 3 months. They're going to struggle with 3 weeks. Why do you think they won in Vegas? Can we stop? Can we stop? The issue right now is that you in Orlando for the first month, you got to be alone.
Stephen A., what are they going to do, smuggle in women in birthday cakes? How do you think they're getting them in there?
Hey, listen. Birthday cakes. I'm not ruling out anything, Max. Anything's possible.
Hey, Max,
I mean, let's just call it what it is. Let's just call
they're
it what
tunnel,
it is.
Somebody got to tunnel under the bubble.
Somebody got to listen.
Tunnel under the bubble.
I'm not. Please don't get me wrong. I would never do that. I'm not implying that anything salacious. I mean, like I said, if you're married, I'm talking
outrageous,
about your wife.
Egregious.
If you're single, I'm talking about your girl. The only point that I'm trying to make here is you asking dudes to go weeks.
No.
Without. And I'm just saying.
Molly Caram.
Hey, Molly.
Challenge.
It's one quick point, Molly.
Somebody got to say.
God bless Stephen A. Smith. Funny and appropriate. And he's the only guy that can bring it up. My question is, so you're single, you're not married, but you got a girl. She's your primary girl, but you got secondary girl. You got third, tertiary. You got other girls. Primary girl, you tell her, hey, baby, you got to sit out a month. I'm going to miss you for a month, but then it can come down to the bubble. Come on in the bubble with me and let's ride. Let's ride to an NBA title together in the bubble in Orlando. What if primary girl's like, yeah, that doesn't sound like my thing. I don't like that. I'm out. And then NBA player says, all right, I'm going to call Mary. And so he calls. So Susan, primary girl number one, says no to the bubble. And then Susan gets the call. Next thing you know, Mary finds out about Susan, and she's on the phone. She's blowing up her man's, you know, text window. What the hell's this? And now the NBA players be like, hey, look, baby, you said you didn't want to come down here, but I got needs. We're in here for the long haul. We're in for 3 months here. You said no, I got other girls. We're not married. Yeah, we're a thing. We're a primary relationship, but come on. Player then is distracted. He's distressed. He plays like shit. Team loses. Word comes out. Yeah, what happened was this player for the Rockets, yeah, his primary girl didn't want to come. He went with his third string girl. The other two were really mad. Next thing you know, he couldn't think straight, Jerry. He was under siege the whole time. I wonder if somebody's going to complain about Stephen A. Smith implying that these young men cannot be professionals, that they are just horny sexual conquistadors, and they can't go a full 3 weeks without actual sex with a woman. We'll see. I doubt he'll face much blowback, if any. How's cord cutting going, everybody? I'm not mocking you. I'm actually kind of jealous. I don't have the internet to do proper cord cutting. But YouTube TV announced on Tuesday they are increasing the cost of their service by just a little bit. What's that? 30%? I'm sorry. You sound like you said 30%, which would be a big increase. That's not 5%. It's not 7%. It's not 9%. It's not 11%. It's not 16%. It's 30%. YouTube is going up from $49.99 a month, YouTube TV, to a whopping $64.99 a month. And this is up from their original price when they launched of $34.99. So they've basically doubled in the span of 2 years. Did you not see this coming, people? And again, you might still say it's still a good deal at $64.99. YouTube TV and their announcement said, we don't take these decisions lightly. Oh, thank you for that. And we realize how hard this is for our members. Yeah, but we're still going to get charged, right? The new price reflects the rising cost of content. Yes, indeed. You read these stories about NBA strikes new deal with media partners. Guess what? Get your wallet out. Even though you don't go to the games, you're paying for it. I'm paying for it. By the way, where's our discount? Where's our rebate from all these sports leagues not being on TV as of late? YouTube TV is still the only streaming service that includes a DVR with unlimited space storage, plus 6 accounts per household, with each with its own unique recommendations, and 3 concurrent streams, all included in the base cost of YouTube TV with no contract and no hidden fees, but with the ability to raise the price at any time since there's no contract. See how that works? YouTube also announced the addition of various new Viacom CBS networks, but only one of which airs Paramount, or only one of which has sports. That's Paramount Network. They have Bellator MMA. There's basically five major streaming services for live TV: YouTube, Hulu, AT&T, Sling, and Fubo. Then you got over the top offerings, standalone things like HBO Max and HBO Go and HBO This and HBO Blue, HBO Light, HBO Classic. I'm just kidding. It's all being streamlined to HBO Max, but that's another $15 a month. You can't cut into your $4.99 a month for the Zabecast. I mean, that's essential, right? Of course it is. I don't know. If it was ever about saving money, that's quickly starting to melt away. And I'm sure a lot of you are like, I'll still never go back to cable. I'll still never go back to DirecTV. I don't blame you. We all would like to be able to say, this is exactly what I need. This is all I want. But you quickly become like Steve Martin in The Jerk as he's trying to collect all his valuable items before leaving his house. All I need is my paddleball game and my remote control. And I need this and I need that. You need NFL, NFL Network, the cable. You need the four network channels. You need your regional sports nets. You need the golf channel. You need NHL Network, MLB Network. You need the NFL Network, Red Zone, Sunday Ticket, TNT, TBS, True TV. It's all over the place. It's why I pay the $330 a month to DirecTV. And I take it up the you-know-what. Because it's my business. It's my business. I'm in the business of watching TV. I'd like to reduce it. I need to reduce it. I could probably reduce it, but it's a write-off, Jerry. You know, write it off. All right, let's try to connect now with Mr. X, who last I checked was in Maine, boarding up the parents' summer home, an August tradition, or a summer tradition. Of course, it's only July right now. He's up there early. Hello, Mr. X.
Hey, Zay. Jeez, I got June 30, but what? Close enough.
I was going to say, I thought you were up there boarding up the house, but that's too early for that. I've lost all track of time. I'm on pandemic time. I have no idea what's what these days. Happy July 1st. It all runs together. So what are you doing up there? Just enjoying some time away?
If I am going to be secluded, I may as well be here.
I thought, yeah, I heard that Maine requires visitors to quarantine when entering.
Sort of.
Sort of.
I mean, they say that, but it's not like there's a toll booth at the state border. You know, you're supposed to actually, they are trying to keep it out of the state. And if you're up here visiting, you're supposed to be, you know, essential things only. But hey, I'm not near anybody and anything, and we're good.
How would they determine essential? First of all, they don't have the manpower to track everybody. So the quarantine is kind of on the honor system.
Exactly.
And essential, I mean, so many people in the Northeast, New York, Boston, on down to Philly, even D.C., they've got a place up in Maine because it's beautiful in the summer, and they want to go there,
yeah,
and use it, yet they're saying only essential people. I'd be like, yeah, I paid taxes on that place, and fuck yeah, it's essential. I'll be there. But don't worry. I'll try to keep away from people.
Well, you're right. All 3 days of summer are fabulous up here. But also, I think it's more a case of, you can be here, but you're only supposed to be out for essential things. For example, go to the grocery store. You're not supposed to be out at parks and doing, you know, those sort of things. It's not essential people. It's essential service. So don't come up here and think you're going to, you know, just go to restaurants and have fun, because they're trying to keep it out. That's for sure.
Flit around to Bar Harbor and go and sightsee and go up to Cadillac Mountain and bike ride and kayak,
yep,
and all that other stuff.
If you are from away, as they call it, you are not welcome.
Yeah. Okay. That said, yep, you're up there now and the phone connection,
yep,
sounds good. So let's go ahead and roll.
Yep.
Let's start with your season ticket refund from the Washington Nationals. Can we get an update on that?
Wow. Yeah. You know, they split it into two things. First of all, you know, if you bought tickets to a game, all you have to do is at that game date request a refund, and you will get it promptly in a couple of billing cycles. So I got
Wait a minute. Yeah. Promptly and in a couple of billing cycles. A billing cycle is a month.
You got that right.
That's not prompt to me. 2 to 3 months is not prompt.
Me neither.
Okay.
Me neither. I'm telling you what they say.
Okay.
Now, for example, we got a bunch of extra opening day tickets, March, 26th. I got it. Refunded to my credit card yesterday.
Jesus.
91 days later, I got that prompt refund. Gotta love that.
Did you have to harass them for it?
I had to submit the stuff in writing back, 2 months ago, and then the reps just say, yeah, billing cycle or two or three. But then the worst part is, the season ticket holders. What kills me about this team is, you see the announcements in the Washington Post, which just is shill for that team, and it's announced they have the best refund policy in sports. Not
really?
Baseball, sports, yes. It's such garbage. But anyway, if you want to wait it out and see and let them keep your money, which, by the way, you started paying last September for this year's plan.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, a World Series time. And if you decide to let them keep it and through COVID and apply it to next year, you get these perks where you get more tickets next year. So if you're afraid to go to games, they reward you by giving you more tickets to games you don't want to go to. It's kind of like when you skip school and you get suspended for not going to school, right?
Right.
It doesn't make much sense.
Or like in The Simpsons when Homer had the guts to complain to Monty Burns about apples in the vending machine, and Monty Burns is like, I'll give you more apples, Homer,
in
the vending machine.
That's what we're doing. You don't want to go, you're scared, we'll give you more tickets. But anyway, or you can request the refund of your season tickets if you don't want to go, which my group did, and they're rolling it out in thirds of seasons because in case it's not canceled, we got notified this weekend that they are finally going to begin processing refunds for the first third of the season. Now, do you think they just canceled the March and April and May games?
No.
So we got nothing. I know. And then I have to talk to my rep about, wait a minute, excuse me, because, we have a bunch of guys that split up the expensive all-you-can-eat-and-drink diamond seats. So the ticket price for those things for our four seats is, it's like $55,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they tell me, oh, don't worry, we'll process it in thirds, and we'll just refund it to your credit card. Like, I really want a $55,000 credit on my credit card. How am I going to pay back my partners with that? Right?
They were going to give you a credit on your credit card. And how would you unlock the cash from your credit card? Can they send you cash somehow?
I don't know. I've asked, please, can we do it another way? But first of all, that first third of the season, roughly, 17, 18 grand, they're starting to process it now. We're not going to see this before, the end of this. And who knows when we're going to see this money back. But I'll tell you, one of the options, Abe, like they in their, quote, best deal in all of sports, is if you let them keep your money, not for just this year, but all the way till next year, you can get these bonus perks, like half of the value in merchandise. And my partners didn't want to do this. I wanted to take half the value in merchandise, like what, $28,000 in merchandise credit. I wanted to walk into the team store and say, give me everything you have in the store.
Why?
And then I'd be like, oh, you can't. Well, and then I'd roll it out onto the street and give it away.
Oh. Well, then you're just burning.
Walks by.
You're just burning your own money right there. That wouldn't stick it to them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I don't think they'd like rolling their whole store out on the street.
Oh,
but I would have done it.
Oh. So in other words, but people would get free stuff though. I don't know how though. They wouldn't want it empty, that's for sure. But they might have a whole stock room in the back. They might have it replenished in 10 minutes. For all you know.
Yeah. So, well, instead we opted for the refund, which is in process still as we speak in July.
Okay. I have a simple question, and I'll just ask it. Why? Why do you and others still do this?
Well, Good question. Prior to this year, what I would say is I enjoy going to the games in spite of the management.
Okay.
But this is the end for me. This is
it.
The last year.
This is it. Yeah. You're out. And oh, I mean, you are a real good customer that has bought expensive tickets, multiples of them, goes to a lot of games, loves baseball, loves the team, but you're out.
All 15 years.
Oh, and I have, like, there's not another one of you that is in line to replace you. That's what
they
I
don't
find.
Get that, do they?
Great. Yes, I don't get it. Like, you can do, you can go to games. You can pop in, buy whatever tickets you want on the secondary market, not be on the hook for them. Pick only the games you want for a lot less money and no hassles getting your cash back. It's almost as if the team doesn't understand the dynamic at work.
They absolutely do not. I have had so many discussions with, let's call it, the highest levels of management. They do not understand that. It's crazy. They do not get it. And I'll tell you, I had to go through a lot of excuses to get the refund because they didn't want to do it. And they're like, because I had, this is like last year of this deal, this contract. And so they're like, they wanted me to do one more year. And I said, no, we're retiring this summer. This is not in the budget for retirement planning. That's why this is my last year. And I do not want credit next year. I need the refund. It was not easy. And it's still not done. So,
oh my God.
So by the way, in a summary, in the beginning of this whole owners, players, typical battle, I was kind of on the ownership side looking at how unreasonable I thought the players were during the crisis.
I remember that in the van with your kids, and you were firmly on owner's side, and I was teaming up with your oldest son or your second oldest son saying, no, screw the owners.
Right. Well, you know, I kind of looked at the case and I thought the players were unreasonable. And then I think of things like this where it's like, can I not have my money back? Screw them. Now I'm not. I've changed tune. I'm like, what logic do you have to say? I mean, they haven't incurred any expenses yet. What logic is there to say, thank you for paying me all this money between September and March. We'll get it back to you sometime.
Yeah, that is nuts.
There's
right
no
there.
Reason to that.
Are other teams better? Do you know? Do you know anyone else in other cities? Is this an outlier, or is this how all major league teams do?
All teams made incentivized offers to say, can we keep it? Yes.
But there's a difference between incentivized offers and dragging your feet and making it very painful to get the damn money back.
No question. That's they all made incentives, which made sense. Nobody likes to refund. But the folks I know in New England, they got their Sox tickets back, their money back right away.
Oh, they
Sox
did.
Took care of it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about other teams. I know they all wanted you to let it ride, so to speak. But I mean, this team—you need a crowbar to get $10 out of the learner's wallet. You know that. It's always been that way.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess
it's a shame.
It is a shame. All that said, are you excited that the guys are going to report to their teams tomorrow? I mean, it's happening. Yeah, you got to be a little bit excited. I'm a little bit excited.
It's, you know what, it's kind of like it's not going to be a season as we know it, and that's fine, but it's going to be a season light. And actually this little, if they can play and if they don't keep having, you know, epidemics and teams being shut down and this, a 60-game sprint, I kind of like it. It'll be fun.
And you are going to release 60-game over-unders to your subscribers at callmemrx.com, correct?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
We have been, hell yes. I tell you what, I mean, I had this stuff, the subscribers in March. I was just ready to go to press with it because I'm a believer in get in early before you lose advantages when all this hit. And so from March through mid-June, staying on top of all the what ifs, and you know, all the injuries that are getting healthy during the shutdown. And I have revised and revised my projections like 77 times. And now with the, now that it's in place, I'm doing it again this week and I'm hoping it'll be out by July 4th for the folks that have been, you know what, Dave, I'll tell you, this is what's cool about your show. Your folks are good guys. I mean, for the most part, I mean, you know, people get a discount on my site if they're a premium Zabecast subscriber. Mm-hmm. And these guys, the first thing I did in March was say, hey, what do you want? If you want to hang on and wait this out with me and see if there's a seat, you want your money back now? No problem. I had probably 10 guys ask for refunds. And that's cool.
And you said three billing cycles and it should be good.
Yeah, I wish. One guy I was driving home and I said, give me 3 hours because I won't be home. That was the longest it took me to do refunds for crying out loud. Three hours. Come on.
Well, the Zabe Vegas guys that signed up, I gave them their money back right away. I didn't drag my feet on it. Exactly.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But most of them stuck it out. And what am I doing again? Now that it's up and available and we know what's coming, I'm giving them the same offer. Okay, now that we see what we're dealing with, if you want in, here it comes. If you want out, that's fine too. That's the difference between trying to snake a sale versus keep a lifelong customer.
Exactly.
And people like the Nationals don't get that. And my gosh, they should get that. It's crazy. All right.
So if you want Mr. X's abbreviated 60-game sprint season totals, we can't guarantee them to win at the same rate that his 162s have been winning over 19 documented years with me, but I would still like it better than just about any other prediction. Go to callmemrx.com. You can sign up now.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't have to wait as long to win.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You don't have to wait as long to win. Right. The waiting
is always firing in March and collecting October. That was a long time. Now we got a short sprint.
Wasn't that a famous song? The waiting is the hardest part or something like that. Have you seen how Major League Baseball is still trying to figure out what happens to guys that pop a positive and get put on the special COVID-19 list, whether or not they're going to announce what players they are or just say, yeah, that guy's not available. Aroldis Chapman's not available for 14 days, but we're not saying what it is and let fans figure it out. This seems like the dumbest thing ever that they're going to try to tiptoe around this and not announce positive tests.
Well, I think the key is it's what do you call it, HIPAA rules and medical stuff, and I can't say that.
I don't think it is because the collective bargaining agreement says that players waive the right to things like he has a sprained ankle, he's going to be out for 14 days, he doesn't need surgery, he's going to have rehab. All that information that, as you know, is key for gambling purposes and transparency, because you don't want the sharps and the underground and the mafia knowing this stuff about who's in or out due to certain things. You got to be upfront about that. I just don't know how they're going to park a guy for even 7 days if it's a shortened period of time without admitting that it's a positive test.
I still am very suspicious. It's kind of like those independent evaluations they do for concussions in football. Mm-hmm. And the quarterbacks always seem to clear, but the other guys don't make it. I still feel like, okay, Max Scherzer's throwing today. Ooh, is that positive? I'm not sure. Let's test him again. I just don't have
See, that's the thing. Cameron Champ on the PGA Tour tested positive and then hit three negatives in a row in 72 hours, which means they either caught him positive at the last stage of his illness or it was a false positive.
Can happen, sure.
Which absolutely can happen. So it'll be interesting to manage. I think there's going to be teams in all sports that quietly start playing best of sevens on the testing. Or they may stop testing asymptomatics and they just say, look, we're not going to risk it. LeBron in the finals could pop an asymptomatic positive and the Lakers could lose the final, get swept by the Bucks in four, in theory.
Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. It's just like in football, it's going to have the same thing. I guarantee you when Russell Wilson has a little issue on game day, we're going to keep testing until the freaking thing comes out the way we want it.
Yeah. Only four guys as of this taping on Tuesday evening have said they're out for the restart, including two Nationals, Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross. The other one is an Arizona Cardinals pitcher. And then the fourth guy is Ian Desmond, a former Nat. But it doesn't look like there'll be more than single digits of Major League players that are opting out. Does that surprise you?
Well, a lot of them are still, quote, evaluating. They've been kind of thinking, I don't think they've all said in. You're right, there's only a few outs, but there's some that are still thinking.
I would imagine you could say you're in, and then it's. I would say you can say you're in, and then at any point you could say you're out, right? If you wanted to, in theory.
I have this rule I use with Mrs. X too. Whenever they say you can do this or you can't do that, you can do whatever you want to do. Right? Nobody comes to your house and makes you go to work tomorrow. Right? So when they say, oh, if you're in, if I say in and next week change my mind and they say, no, you can't, like, watch me. Okay.
Yeah.
Watch me. You know, there's no reason they can't.
I wonder if there's a guy who's out who, let's say things improve a bit in 30 or 60 days, says, I'm now in. Would they bar Zim or Ross from coming back in September?
I think what they said is, if you say you're out, you're out. And I just, like, that's just one more grievance that's coming down the road. When the team's making the playoffs, and I say, well, you know, the environment seems like it's safer now. Can I come in? And they'll say no. And you're like, okay, grievance.
Right.
You're denying me my right to earn a living. I mean, these guys are going to, this is the difference in this one. And look, it's all being, this is all new ground.
Right.
But in the past, you got players on one side and owners on the other. This year, the owners are just circled by players in all directions. They're waiting to file grievances for making me play. They'll file grievances for not letting me play. They'll file grievances for, you know, being too safe. I mean, not safe enough. They're going to get grievances from every direction. Sure. There's no way they can win this thing.
But
I think it's really the most interesting part of all is, you know, the grievance was the stumbling block during all this negotiation. It wasn't games and this and that. It was waiving the right for grievances was key, and they wouldn't do it. That's what took so long. Because what you're going to see is, I mean, you look at things like take the, you know, the Mookie. It's all about service time. Like Mookie Betts, is this my year for the Dodgers, and now I'm a free agent? And if they only play, you know, a few games, the players can't wait to get service time credit to move on to either free agency or arbitration, like Juan Soto. He needs this year to count so he can get paid.
Sure.
Even if they don't play, I need this to count as service time. But then you have guys on the opposite side. My best example is, like, you take a guy like David Price, who's in the last year of a contract making $32 million. This is it for him. It's his last payday. He would love to say, you know, I can't play. It's not safe. But I'm willing to play next year for $32 million. Can I have it? Can I take it next year?
Yeah.
So they're going to get it from both sides.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I just feel this. I feel like once they actually start, they're not stopping unless there is something calamitous that happens, because that would then create a train wreck of, well, wait a minute. I agreed to play. You then shut it down again. I want all my money, including for the games we didn't finish playing.
Yeah.
Then there would be, hey, I want service time. Then, I mean, it would be too much, and the financial implications would be huge. Have you seen the financial implications of minor league baseball officially canceling today? They say there's a good dozen or so teams that may go under completely.
Yeah, they will. Somebody will resurrect them. I think that's the reason they have this 60-person player pool for these teams, so they can do this last man standing. It's kind of going to be like when they give away a car to the last guy that's still standing there touching it.
Yeah.
Teams will just start losing players and players. That's not funny, I know.
Well,
but start losing them.
Hopefully,
that's why you start with 60, so you got enough to play.
Well, hopefully you won't lose them, per se, that, you know, their illness will be
right
mild
word.
And they'll
Sorry.
Recover. And then once they do, then they're kind of bulletproof. And so then, you know, like, I'm thinking, so they got no spitting rules and they got no showering rules. But if you're one of 20% of the bigs who have tested positive, you've come through it fine, shouldn't you be allowed to spit and shower at the park?
Well, I know we don't want to do the medical side, but the one thing I know from my medical insiders is they still don't know for sure. I've forgotten the term about
if you have immunity,
you can't get it.
Yeah.
They don't yet know if that's true
but
in this case. There's nothing that says you can't get multiple times yet. That's still not known.
Yeah, but it's basically known. It's basic epidemiology.
Okay.
And I read a study where in South Korea a couple months ago, they're like, oh shit, people that have had it are testing positive again. They dug deeper. They're like, no, the second time around has been false positives. Because of just lingering sort of dead chunks of the virus that were sort of rattling around in people. But whatever, whatever. They'll still make him.
Sure.
They'll still make him go through the protocol and everything else like that. Sure. What else is on your docket for today besides just baseball?
Well, I'm curious, how is it that everybody keeps talking about how the NBA was the first team to get their act together, first league to get their act together way back when, and they laid out this great plan? Yet baseball's still starting up before NBA.
I know. And the
NHL.
What's
taking them so long? They're the last ones to come to terms, and yet they're still first one back.
I know. That's the craziest thing. And I proclaimed the baseball season dead four different times on the operating table.
Yeah.
And those who know the game go, nah, this is just how they get deals done. I guess urgency to claw back that money says, fuck it, we'll report, let's get it going. And they've got teams scattered all around the country and Canada where they're doing their training at their home parks and they're staying in their own homes and they're circulating in the general population. Ain't no bubble with baseball. I don't know. I think the NBA, they're also dealing more than any other league with satisfying the social justice needs of their overwhelmingly black player base, because that's a huge thing.
Have you seen the Rangers' new ballpark?
Looks like a giant tool shed.
Exactly. Although I've heard a lot of people saying they were tired of the Astros getting so much attention that they built their park to look like a giant trash can.
Oh, zing! You know, it's funny with the roof closed, it looks like shit from the outside. But if they crank the AC, and I know how freaking hot it gets down there in the middle of summer and how big the bugs are at night, if it keeps the bugs out and keeps it under a million degrees, who cares what it looks like on the outside?
Well, when you spend $1 billion, can't it look half decent?
I suppose. I've seen renderings of it with the roof open that look kind of lovely and cool and new school.
I guess for $1.2 billion, I'd like it to look good all the time, but I guess that's too much to ask for my billion.
Have you seen the new football stadiums in L.A. and Vegas as they approach completion?
Yes.
They
looks good.
They look unbelievable. It's a damn shame they'll be probably goddamn empty when the season starts, but oh
Vegas
well.
Vegas does everything right. That town just doesn't do anything wrong.
They do it quick,
they do
too.
Works out.
They do it right. They do it quick. That's the thing. That's what money does. That's what hustle does. Here's how it is. By the way, Super 70 Sports, do you follow them on Twitter?
I sure do. Love
it. Did you see they posted a video clip, an old 8mm film clip from Las Vegas from 1976, I believe? And they roll you down the Vegas Strip past the iconic Welcome to Vegas sign. And it is just amazing to see how tiny and small and low profile the whole city is, the Strip is.
Yeah, that's cool. You can't let me go, though, without mentioning Cam, can you?
Let's do it. Cam to the Patriots. What do you think as a Patriot fan?
I was never a big Cam guy. X2 loves him and is always touting about Cam.
So he's happy.
Very happy. Oh, gosh, yes. But, you know, it's just sometimes you just – how is it that all these teams, Bears and everyone else, can just let the Pats have first pick at the end, you know? They get Cam. How? What are these other guys doing?
Well, I understand your thought, but you are trapped like a lot of people in the mindset of fantasy football that somebody should have picked him up as a blocking move more than anything else. But Cam had a hand
in
this.
Thought he should start for the Bears.
Well, yeah, the Bears...
The block.
Right.
I'm saying there's a lot of teams that could have upgraded by picking him. They left him on the table for the last team to come in, the Patriots. How is that? He didn't sign for very much money. The rumor was that he wanted big, big money. He signed for nothing.
Right.
Virtually. He signed for Chase Daniels money.
Not even. Apparently he's making. Apparently both he and Jameis Winston are making less money combined than Chase Daniel, which looks racist as fuck, to be honest. But I can't buy into the league being not racist to pick both those guys 1/1 to defend Jameis Winston through a groping incident with an Uber driver, a female Uber driver, and they have Cam Newton be one of the faces of the league, marketed up one side and down the other. And then suddenly they're like, nah, we're racist. I think they're both high profile enough that they obviously want to start still, but they need to spend a year with a clipboard to kind of climb their way back into the driver's seat.
He's going to spend three quarters with a clipboard before he, three quarters of the first game before Stidham gets benched.
If that.
Come on.
If that. Well, and I don't know.
Did you see, he's the first quarterback to not drafted by the Patriots to start since Sekules.
Scott Sekules?
Scott Sekules was the last non-drafted player to start for the Pats.
Wow.
At QB. Yeah.
That's interesting.
They don't get them from other teams, so this he's the first one.
I'm just happy and proud of myself that I remembered Scott Sekules. You know, for all the shit I forget on a regular basis, there's certain things in my hard drive that I have instant access to.
For no rhyme or reason.
For no rhyme or reason. Exactly right. All right, Mr. All right. X, enjoy Maine. When are you coming back to the DMV?
Somewhere between late July and never.
Okay. Okay. Keep us posted. For Mr. X's shortened baseball season totals, go to callmemrx.com and sign up. Thank you, bud.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Let's end on some coronavirus-related material. Jeff Castle from Orlando, Florida, writes to say, I miss the pre-COVID days of your podcast. Well, before I even get into your first sentence, Jeff, get in fucking line. I do too. He begins by saying, hi, Steed. Good start. Longtime one percenter, and I've had the pleasure of exchanging emails with you a couple of times. In recent months, though, I've found large portions of your podcast to be unlistenable due to the hardcore stance on the coronavirus. I would never tell you how to feel about it, and you have every right to feel the way you do. Why it turns me off is that we can get a coronavirus coverage and opinions 100 other places. The Zabecast is where I used to escape things like this. I don't remember you being this militant about replay, which I'm in total agreement. You don't remember me being this militant about replay? I am. Or did I miss it? I get you're probably frustrated of having no sports and how that affects you doing 7 hours of content each day. I am. I'm still listening because I enjoy Andy, Charch, and Jay, but I'm hitting the fast forward button way more than I want to the rest of the time. Anyhow, that's my two cents for what it's worth. Stay well. Well, I thank you for that, Jeff. And okay. But people who have been saying to me, keep it up, Zabe. I appreciate your take on this because it's one of the few outlets that is cutting straight to the chase in terms of honesty and sensibility and common sense. So please don't ever stop speaking your mind, because you're one of the few people that I can say, thank God I'm not the only one screaming about this. Adam Kinnear via email says, Steed, couple of things. One, you've mentioned a Chinese proverb that goes, may you live in interesting times, several times now. To clarify, though, it's not a proverb. It's a Chinese curse. So when someone says, may you live in interesting times, they're really giving you a subtle, fuck that guy. Number two, I am married to an epidemiologist. As you can imagine, as a husband, I am normally programmed to be wrong on anything. But now with coronavirus, my wife plays that card even harder. Regardless of what my opinion is about Corey COVID and his playing ability, she claims that she is the only qualified scout who can assess his impact on the game objectively. Your bit this morning on how epidemiologists was awesome, or how on how epidemiologists view the world was awesome. Well, it wasn't just my view. It was Dr. Michael Levitt who said, look, to epidemiologists, all they have is a hammer, so everything looks like a nail. They know what they know, and they don't really care about anything else. It was awesome. I can't wait to play it to her tonight and see her reaction. Stay healthy, Adam in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm sure she'll cuss up One side and down the other and trash Michael Levin, say what the fuck does he know and who's he and where has he studied epidemiology, blah, blah, blah. The point, though, is Epidemiology, the study of how viruses form, travel, mutate, spread through a population, has limits. It doesn't address how should societies respond. How aggressive should they be in mitigation efforts? Which mitigation efforts? At what political cost? At what economic cost? All of those questions are beyond really the expertise of the epidemiologists. And when the epidemiologists wildly overstate how a virus is going to perform, and it causes government officials to overreact and break the trust with the public, like Fauci with the mask thing, saying, don't wear a mask. And now it's like, oh my God, you got to wear a mask. It breaks, it causes a lot of damage. And now the big battle that is brewing is schools. And you can see it now popping up in more places. Tick tock, tick tock. We're on July 1st now. This has to be resolved sooner rather than later. And there's a lot of unhappy people on a lot of sides. And don't underestimate the power of the teachers' union. Oh, boy. Big, heavyweight union, and they play for keeps. And they don't care about using the kids as pawns. They don't. I say that as the son of a school teacher. My dearest mom, school teacher. And a damn good one at that. My sister-in-law, school teacher. But don't kid yourself, the union, hardball. They're like the baseball union. Eric Essinger, I'm sure you've covered this angle, Zay, but what happens when the regular flu season comes? Are we going to be subject to mask laws every single flu season? Quite probably. Quite possibly. Who the fuck knows? That's part of the reason why many of us are saying this is bullshit. The clip on your podcast of Dr. Michael Levitt was awesome. This has been a political operation from the start, period, end of discussion. On a side note, hearing Dr. Feelgood today made me yearn for days when I was going to hear you mostly talk sports and some stuff. Because I love sports, but even more, I enjoyed your views on the stuff you brought up. While I miss the sports, I'm a big fan of the stuff, and your crew have been amazing in this unprecedented time. However, I can't wait for sports to take the lead. Again, I'm with you on that. Amen. That's all I want to talk about in the big scheme of things. I'd prefer it big time. And you'll notice today, I kept the Rona till the end. You're the best, but watch out for Dario. He's pretty damn awesome. Enjoy America's Day, Eric Essinger. Then there's this one. Defending Fauci. Hey, Steen. It's good. I like that. So proud of you working your way through the horrific changes torturing the industry with iHeart flipping sports and other formats, massive layoffs, losing Solly, and all the other crap that we radiophiles don't even know about. You soldier on. It's delightful listening to you caping up for the causes of your future employers, OAN, Fox, InfoWars, EIB, or whoever else might want to pick up a radio survivor who can hop formats. I also get a hearty laugh from those who write to you so offended by your newfound calling. Do they know they can fast-forward the pod or change the channel? Like so many of your fans, I'll keep listening wherever you go because we enjoy the me show. And now on to Fauci. No offense, but I'll take the guy with a medical degree over a sports yakker when it comes to medicine. As gotchas go, that one yesterday was pretty weak. Keep on yakking. The Rudy McMicken. Rudy McMicken. Here's the thing, Rudy, if that's your real name. It's not me versus Fauci. It's Fauci versus his peers. It's Fauci versus other epidemiologists. It's Fauci and how he conducts himself in the public sphere. It's Fauci. Is he really a nonpartisan, straight down the middle, science-first guy? Or is he a guy who once wrote an unsolicited email to Hillary Clinton's chief of staff after watching her lie through her teeth about Benghazi on Capitol Hill and praising her, saying, oh my God, what a performance. I am such an admirer. That's what the comparison is. Fauci versus his peers. It's not versus me. Of course he knows. He shits more out in the bowl about this stuff than I do, but it doesn't mean that we as normal citizens can't observe, synthesize, listen to other experts who are not on the government payroll and what they say, how they say it, and their view of the pandemic and our government and our society's response, and say, I think this guy's full of shit. I think he's a fraud. That's what it is. It's not me versus Fauci. It's Fauci versus his peers. Where does he stand in that regard? Then finally this, Maggie Howarth, Meekum Auctions. That's the car people. She said, Zabe, I hopped into my truck the other day that I had loaned to a friend. Your show was on, the one in Milwaukee. The laughter coming through the speakers was contagious. I left it on for my commute to work. I've now been listening to your show for just a handful of days, and I got to tell you, I'm a fan. Sports used to be my thing. It hasn't been, though, for quite some time. But thanks to you and your team for reeling me back in. The Kawhi Leonard reel literally made me laugh out loud. You guys are great to listen to. Maggie Hallward. Thank you, Maggie. That's what I love to do. To be able to entertain even the most casual of sports fans. Come for the box scores, stay for the laughs, and become addicted to the freewheeling, don't take ourselves seriously personalities on all my shows. And that will do it today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. We know you've got a choice in podcasts. You've got many of them piling up in your phone right now, eating up precious gigabytes. And you might say, do I need all these? And I know you've got a choice. You've got limited time. Which do I go to? Hopefully you keep pressing the Zabecast every day and tell a couple of friends. Rate and review. Please, our algorithmic overlords, tell a couple friends, like I said, and we will keep on growing and doing what we do. Have yourself a great Wednesday. Welcome to July, and we will see you tomorrow.